fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome to the War Room. My name is Savannah Hernandez. I have been sitting in studio all week for Owen Schroyer, who has been all around America. He was in Washington, D.C. on Monday. He was in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And now he's in New York City. I am also going to be joined during this show by Tom Papert. Now, he is a great contributor to National File. He writes so many great stories, and he is oftentimes... he joins us all the time. He just gives great analysis on news stories. So we're going to be going over a little bit of everything today. And we're also going to be joined by Peter Diabrasca later on in the broadcast to talk about some illegal immigration numbers with him and maybe his segment on Tucker Carlson. But going back to Owen Schroyer and everything that he's done this week, let's go to a clip of what he's been doing so far in New York.
Merry Christmas from Infowars.com. This is a friendly reminder that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. So while you're gathered with your loved ones over the holiday season, just remember that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. You, sir, with enough confidence to try to make a drug deal in Times Square with hundreds of police officers around, who do you think killed Jeffrey Epstein? Hillary Clinton. Was it Queen Elizabeth? Was it President Netanyahu? Was it ABC News? No cases, no stories. Merry Christmas from Infowars.com. This is just a friendly reminder that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. And so while you're gathered with your loved ones over the Christmas season, sharing stories and laughs, just remember that Jeffrey Epstein did not commit suicide. When you're putting Christmas lights up on your home to show your holiday spirit, remember that Christmas lights and Jeffrey Epstein have one thing in common. They don't hang themselves. Merry Christmas from Infowars.com. This is a friendly reminder that Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself. Who do you think killed Epstein? Sir! You, sir! Who do you think killed Jeffrey Epstein? This individual wants to know who is Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein was an industrial-level child sex trafficker who was friends with Bill Clinton and Chuck Schumer and Prince Andrew. And he was also a triple agent working for the FBI, MI6, and the Mossad. So he magically died in a jail cell while on suicide watch. If you believe that. So Jeffrey Epstein allegedly hanged himself with toilet paper while on suicide watch at a jail. All the cameras fell at the same time. The security guards on duty were the normal workers. And we're just supposed to believe that? No, I don't think so. Either. And ABC News had the Epstein story 2 years ago, and they spiked it to protect Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election. How do you like that? Now, Hillary's going to try to come back and run again in 2020, so maybe she had to, give Epstein the old... so that didn't come back and haunt her, because Bill Clinton should go down to Epstein Island, where all the pedophiles would hang out, and I'll keep it at that, family audience here.
Christmas from Infowars.com. This is a friendly reminder that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. So while you're gathered with your loved ones over the holiday season, just remember that Jeffrey Epstein did not commit suicide. And when you're putting up your Christmas lights to show your holiday spirit, remember that Christmas lights and Jeffrey Epstein have something in common. They don't hang themselves.
All right, folks, there's an example of some of the work that Owen Schroyer has been doing this week. The InfoWars truck made its way to New York City, and he bullhorned Times Square. So we have a lot of other great clips coming up for you. And again, I am joined for the whole 3 hours by editor-in-chief of National File, Tom Papert. Should be a great show. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
I am joined by my co-host for the next 3 hours, Tom Papert. Tom, I'm so excited to have you in studio here with me. Now, it's Thursday today, but this week has started off just explosive in terms of the impeachment hearings, the IG report, all of just everything that's been going on this week. So talk to us a little bit about what you make of everything that has been going on this week in DC in politics.
Well, of course, the big story for conservatives is supposed to be this IG report, which initially it came out and it seemed, and I still believe Alex Jones was vindicated. You were vindicated. Owen was vindicated. David Knight was vindicated. Everybody who said do not get your hopes up seemed to have the right idea. Of course, the findings, the conclusion of the IG report is everybody did horrible, horrible things. Procedure was broken. Laws may have been broken, but nobody really did anything wrong. And so that's what all journalists like me, you know, the first thing you do when you're faced with a 450-page document is you scroll to the bottom and see exactly what the findings are. But as the week has gone by, Savannah, it's kind of exploded because people are going through and finding all of the inconsistencies. And the biggest one, of course, we have it on Infowars.com. The Horowitz IG report admits that the FISA warrants were based, quote, entirely on the debunked Steele dossier. That's, of course, the totally fake dossier built on Russian propaganda, obtained by a British former spy and bought by the Clinton campaign, that said President Trump, as an example, and forgive my crudeness, viewers and listeners, but as an example, President Trump went to a hotel in Moscow and had Russian prostitutes urinate on him because he hated Barack Obama. So this dossier, the Democrats and their allies in the media for years now have been saying it was a small, small part. It wasn't the reason for the FISA warrants. It was a teensy, teeny, tiny little bit of the reason. And there was millions of other reasons, and there was just no big deal at all. Well, now we know from Horowitz, no, it was the reason for the FISA reports. It was the reason for the spying. It was the reason why multiple good men are now in jail or have had their careers ruined. And it was all, I mean, they're totally uncorroborated, totally fake dossier that, again, was made by a charlatan named Steele who bought information from the Russians. And so that's another dimension to this, Savannah. You have the Democrats who are horribly Russophobic. They're afraid of anything Russian. I think they're going to boycott the Nutcracker this year for Christmas. But their entire impeachment push, their entire hatred of Trump, everything goes back to essentially Russian phony intelligence.
Right. And I was reading, too, yesterday that a lot of the news stories, pretty much all of the news stories from the past 2 years that the New York Times, CNN, MSNBC have put out about the whole Russian collusion hoax, a lot of it stemmed from the Steele dossier and a lot of these embellished and debunked stories. And of course, when the IG report had come out, when the Senate was talking about it, CNN and MSNBC were nowhere to be found in terms of broadcasting everything that was happening there.
Well, what's fascinating is CNN somehow, they think that this vindicates them. And same with MSNBC. I mean, they're totally ignoring their own reporting for years now, in which they claim that the Steele dossier had nothing to do with it. They also claim that the Steele dossier was the word of God, completely true. But now they're somehow misconstruing the facts to say that they are completely vindicated by Horowitz, where Horowitz said nobody who touched this thing with a 10-foot pole is in a good position. He said that nobody should feel vindicated by this. This is a terrible blight. He didn't go as far as to recommend any criminal prosecution. But we saw the same thing with Comey, who said that he felt vindicated. I mean, we had Horowitz specifically say, nobody should feel good about this. Nobody who touched this thing should be feeling good about this. And Savannah, one of the most frustrating things about this, and I think that I kind of knew this would happen. I think Alex knew it was going to happen. I think many people knew this would happen. It's one of those things where if you went into this with the idea that Republicans good, Democrats bad, that's what you were able to find in it. If you went into it with the idea that Democrats good, Republicans bad, that's what they were able to find in it. That's what I think a lot of Americans are sick of when it comes to these reports and these investigations, is Horowitz did a wonderful job of threading the needle. So he exposed all of the bad things that were done, but then he said nothing bad happened. It rings back to when Hillary Clinton, of course, was investigated by the FBI. And at the end of the day, Comey listed all of the terrible things that she did. And then at the end of it said, but she didn't mean to, so she gets off the hook. It's very frustrating.
Definitely, Tom. And this has been such an in-depth topic. And you and I were talking about it too, just if you haven't followed this since day one, it's so convoluted. There's so many twists and turns with it. And again, for the past 2 years, our media has been falsely reporting on it. All of these stories have been just, and our president has been misconstrued for the past 2 years. I was talking to Alex about this as well, how if you truly wanted to even do research on the president, all you're going to see is, yeah, he got peed on by prostitutes. He's corrupt. He's a liar. He colluded with Russia. And now we're hearing he's colluding with Ukraine. He's trying to meddle in the elections. They're already saying that foreign interference in the next election is already happening. So we're basically going full circle with this, and the 2020 elections haven't even happened yet.
Well, that's right. And I mean, if you want to talk about foreign interference, I mean, we have interfered in how many different elections? We have interfered in Russia's elections since the beginning of Russia. I mean, it was the United States. So we're the reason why the communists took over in Russia, because we were funding them. We were giving them money. We were giving them ammo. We were giving them guns. So it is a bit hypocritical. But that, of course, comes into why the entire Ukraine hoax. I guess they had to pick another Eastern European country, Ukraine, after they got tired of Russia. They're claiming that he wanted them to interfere in the election to beat creepy, sleepy Joe Biden, who can't string a sentence together. The other day he was rambling about spaghetti sauce and forklifts. The man is clearly insane. So I think that is the big prediction for the next cycle. They're going to continue this collusion narrative. The Democrats are big on polls. It's like they polled quid pro quo, they polled corruption, they polled bribery, and I think they finally settled on bribery would be the term that they sold to the American people. Well, they must have done focus groups for collusion as well, because that seems to be the term that they're just addicted to.
Right. And like you said, collusion already something that they're going to be pushing ahead of 2020. Not only that, but I have been on Twitter a lot this week, and we already have so many representatives coming out and saying a president can be impeached more than one time. They're already gearing up to impeach the president again if he gets reelected in 2020. And there was a compilation we played earlier on in this week, and the Democrats basically came out and said, we cannot let Trump be reelected for a second term. We cannot let the American people even have that option. They blatantly said it straight out, and they're just confirming it with the fact that they're already going to try to impeach him again. I mean, this is just so ridiculous. At what point is this going to stop?
Well, I think it stops when the Democrats lose control of the House. I mean, that's where we're at. These people cannot be trusted with power. They will abuse it at any given opportunity. And I think that them voting for impeachment could be the kiss of death for the Democrats in the House. National File has done research. There are 26 vulnerable Democrats who won in 2018 in districts that President Trump carried, in some cases by 15 to 20 points in 2016. So, of course, 2018, President Trump's name was not on the ballot. A lot of voters stayed home. It's what happens in midterm elections. If these 26 vulnerable Democrats, if they vote to impeach President Trump, no way they're getting reelected in 2020. Not a good chance they'll get reelected in 2020, even if they do not vote to impeach. But it's the only chance they have to save their career. So if everything goes well, if President Trump gets out there and campaigns for good America First conservatives, there's no reason to think that we couldn't have full control over all three branches of government again after 2020. But of course, to do that, Americans have to fight for it. And in order to do that, we have to continue to support independent media like InfoWars, like War Room, like the Alex Jones Show. And of course, the best way to do that is to go to InfoWarsStore.com.
Definitely. It's so important that our listeners support us. Of course, we are really run by them. They are the heart and soul of our organization. They're the ones that keep us afloat, allow us to go through all of this news so they don't have to, and really dig out what the truth is within the media. Because like we said, over the past 2 years, what's really news? What's really facts? No one can actually tell anymore. So folks, don't worry. That's why we have great guests and co-hosts like Tom Papert in studio to really filter through all of this crazy news and get you the facts. Folks, on this short break, go to InfoWarsStore.com and go check out some of our great products to keep us afloat.
Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back, folks. Savannah Hernandez and Tom Papert in studio over the next 3 hours, where we're going to be talking about, right now in this segment, actually, big tech and YouTube. So they recently changed their terms of service yesterday, and that sparked a lot of outrage. I know on Twitter today, the hashtag YouTube is over was trending, and that started yesterday, actually, after, again, this change in terms of service. Now, of course, as we know, Google owns YouTube, and apparently they're no longer allowing anyone on their platform to post content that maliciously insults others based on protected traits, including race, gender expression, and sexual orientation. Now, not only that, but actually our very own Paul Joseph Watson was immediately targeted with this new change in terms of services as well. He said that YouTube removed a video that he had previously made about modernity,
maybe?
Yeah, there we go. Thank you. I always want to say like modernity. I don't know why. But apparently his YouTube video was removed because, I don't know, I guess he was bullying Miley Cyrus based on her gender. Mm. Bullying.
Well, and this is a young woman who, from the age of what was it? She's 17 when she did that video where she's twerking on stage. I mean, a minor that's basically creating live action pornography for the entire world to see. And of course, Paul doesn't insult people based on their gender. Paul doesn't insult people based on their sexual orientation or gender identity. I'm almost positive I've seen the video in question, and he's remarking about the degeneracy of our society, something that is relatively commonplace and should be encouraged. But what he said in the tweet is absolutely accurate. Why bother putting the time in if you can just be deleted for no apparent reason whatsoever? I mean, this is the new face of Google. We saw them not that long ago. First, it's, if you ever make a video that can be seen as for children, then you're going to get banned, and you may get fined $45,000. By the powers that be. And then you have people like PewDiePie wondering if they're going to be taken down for doing Minecraft videos. Then it was, if your channel is not economically viable, you can be taken down. Well, what does that mean? First, they demonetize you. They make it so you can't make money. And then because you're not running ads, do they say that you're no longer commercially viable? I don't know. They won't tell you. And now, of course, we've escalated to the point where, if they just think that you're a meanie head, then you can be taken down.
And that's the thing, too, that a lot of people have brought forward is, okay, what's the difference now between criticism and bullying or hate speech? Those lines have become so blurred, and no speech is protected at this point because, of course, you can take any topic and say, oh, that's hate speech because that person didn't like what I said. He didn't like how I dressed. So that's bullying. That's hate speech. That made me feel really bad about myself. He needs to be demonetized. Kick him off of YouTube. This comment is unacceptable. And that's what we're pushing now. We're just constricting speech more and more on this platform. And I think that the hashtag YouTube is over is very applicable to the situation.
Well, I saw today YouTube had tweeted something. What's the thing you need most when you're making videos? And they were getting absolutely destroyed in their own replies because everybody was saying a platform that recognizes free speech, a platform that doesn't ban you for no reason, a platform with understandable terms of service. And all those people are absolutely right. I think YouTube, I mean, this is kind of the big, ever since 2016, the big move with big tech, they're falling on their own sword to try to defeat conservatives because they realized in 2016, we were better at using their toys than they were. You know, it took us a while to adapt and get there. And I think maybe it's the younger generation that was able to do it. And once we figured out how to use Facebook, how to use Twitter, how to use YouTube to reach people, to expand the conservative coalition, we were way better at it than them. And they're pushing the Democrats. They were pushing the Democrats even then. And so in response, you have Facebook is destroying its own platform by making it so nobody can use it anymore. You have Twitter is destroying its own platform by banning everybody who's even remotely interesting. You have YouTube destroying its own platform by banning everybody who's remotely interesting and now getting rid of random videos. I think the big message of 2016 to present is these globalists will destroy their own business rather than give a conservative a chance to be on an even playing field.
You know, and they say, too, that their new terms of service say that you can't insult gender expression. And I know one of my favorite things to do is go on YouTube and watch videos about people who identify as they. And it's just so ridiculous. And Merriam-Webster actually announced that their word of the year is they. It's the non-binary pronoun they. And I mean, you can't make YouTube videos about this anymore. You can't bring light to this because, hey, for example, too, even just reading this statistic of or saying, hey, how does this, you know, translate into proper grammar? Would that be taken off of YouTube then for questioning that specific thing? Is that an attack on gender expression?
Well, and how about the viral, it's ma'am, whatever happened? I mean, so now we can't make jokes about that anymore. Now, if somebody points out that that was very clearly a hyper-masculine man in a dress, essentially.
Not only that, but that he is bullying the poor GameStop employee in that video.
I mean, so now that is verboten. I mean, it's absolute insanity, and they're just going to keep pushing it further and further towards the edge. I mean, the only good part of this is I believe they're driving people away from their platform. I mean, it's obviously the other problem with YouTube, as you well know, is the platform has never made money. And so Google knows that they will never have anybody really compete with them. You have BitChute, you have Bridie on by Mike Adams that are going to definitely attempt to compete and to try. But at the same time, I believe Google knows that it's going to be incredibly difficult for anybody to really compete because it's a loss leader for Google. It's a way for them to mine your data and then sell it to people on Google Ads. But I almost wonder if, like you're saying, if this is a step too far and if they're not going to be able to get out of this one.
I'm just not sure at this point which videos are going to be allowed on YouTube. Think about all of those great older, like early 2000s, early 90s comedy skits that aren't going to be allowed on there. I mean, there's so many classic things that we're not going to be allowed to see anymore. And then someone else made the point too. Okay, well, what about a historical video about Nazis, is that something that can be considered as insulting, as bad, as an attack?
We've already seen those banned. There was one after one of YouTube's previous policy changes where I believe it was a French history professor who did really well produced little mini documentaries on Nazi Germany. And he starts getting banned for that. We're to the point where now history is racist and irredeemable. So history must be banned from the platform.
It's so ridiculous at this point, and I just feel like we've gone too far with it, and I'm waiting for the point where we're finally going to be like, okay, this is too much. We need to calm it down. We need to stop being so insulted by everything. We need to allow people to have their freedom of speech because, again, this is just one more step towards us not having our First Amendment. We're not allowed to post things on YouTube. We're not allowed to say certain things on Twitter. The other day, a Fox News contributor was suspended from Twitter because he spoke out about Islam. All he did was write factual things about what's been going on there, and he was banned. That's something that we've seen across Twitter for many conservatives, and not even conservatives as well. Like, I'm not even sure, too. Again, the lines are so blurred. What can you even say on these platforms anymore?
Well, and just think that this all started, this whole censorship wave started when Milo Yiannopoulos made an unfortunate joke about Harambe. And now here we are, 3 years later, you can get banned for refusing to use the word they as a pronoun.
At least we're not like Canada where we can get arrested for it yet. But folks, I feel like that's where we're headed if we keep allowing this to happen. Tom Papert and Savannah Hernandez in studio. We will be joined by Peter Diabrasca on the other side of this short break.
Infowars.com/show. Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
So for our TV viewers, they are just in for that treat of watching those Pete Buttigieg supporters who were dancing around. That clip went viral. I think a lot of us were laughing at them as opposed to laughing with them.
I like the one with the fanny pack. That is the most cringe thing I've seen in my life. And of course, our guest is the good Pete.
yes.
Pete DeBrasca, who is a candidate running in North Carolina. And his main campaign issue is a 10-year immigration moratorium. God bless him. I think we could certainly use that in this country.
Definitely. And I thought about Pete this morning because these articles broke on Infowars.com and Breitbart. ICE deports over a quarter of a million illegals, 5.5K gang members in 2019. Between September 2018 and October 2019, ICE agents deported about 267,258 illegals. So I was like, you know, who would be a great person to talk to about this? And of course, Pete DeBrasca. Sorry, I always say his name wrong. It's Pete DeBrasca. To all of our radio listeners, Pete DeBrasca. I promise by the end of this interview with him, I will say his name correctly at least one time. But Pete, I wanted to get you on to talk about this, to talk about your run for Congress and just your thoughts on these statistics so far. Just a quarter million illegals being deported in the past year.
Yeah, well, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. I think that what's important to note, Savannah and Tom, is that the argument against illegal immigration, particularly the economic argument against illegal immigration, is one that can also be made against legal immigration, which is, as you know, what I'm sort of basing my campaign for Congress on. So if you look at the reasons that the GOP will give you for not wanting illegal aliens to come here, namely that illegal aliens suppress wages and that they take jobs from the working class and increasingly the middle class, well, that's the same reason, or those are the same ramifications, excuse me, that legal immigration, mass legal immigration, has on the United States as well. So, you know, just because we're checking a box or giving these particular aliens a piece of paper that says you're allowed to be here doesn't mean that the negative ramifications are any different for ordinary Americans. And I think at this point, with the million legal immigrants that we have coming into the United States, it's time for us to just take a step back and maybe figure out a policy that actually works on behalf of the American people instead of making sure that our middle class dwindles, which is what we're doing right now.
So, Pete, you were recently verified on Twitter. I just have to congratulate you for that. I don't know if we could be friends anymore, though. But other than that, you were on Tucker Carlson Tonight about a week ago now. And I wanted to ask you, on Tucker, you defined exactly what a moratorium is, according to your campaign. And it doesn't mean just 100% shut off immigration. So break this down. Break down your campaign promise to us.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that, Tom. And it's very important that we clarify what an immigration moratorium is. An immigration moratorium is not zero immigration total. An immigration moratorium is zero net immigration to the United States. So every year, about 200,000 people will leave the United States. In that case, it's okay that we bring 200,000 legal immigrants into the country. The idea is to have no population increase from legal immigration on an annual basis. So we want zero net immigration, which is good, right? Because, you know, there are certain legitimate cases for legal immigration. I don't want to stop anybody, you know, who may have a love interest from a different country, for example, from getting married, right? And being able to have their spouse come to the United States. That's one sort of primary example that comes to mind. You know, we're not trying to be total dictators here. The idea is just to have a policy that works for the American people. That's all.
And you mentioned population growth and, of course, legal and illegal immigration really contributing to that. Why is it that you don't want that population growth in terms of immigration?
Sure. So there's two main reasons, right? One of them is the economic reason that we discussed briefly, which is that ever increasingly now, it used to be just that we would bring in sort of low-skilled workers and that they would take jobs from the working class. But increasingly now, legal immigrants are being brought into the United States to go to college, where after college, they'll take jobs from American college graduates in STEM fields, computer engineering being sort of the most obvious example, where you get particularly Asian immigrants that come to the United States. And they end up with all of the jobs in Silicon Valley, while all of the American students who took out student loans, hoping to maybe have upward mobility in society, then do not get to have the jobs that they thought they might have when they graduated. The second reason is demographics. I mean, demographics are very important to the future of America, let's face it. And we get smeared for saying this, but you know, the New York Times is talking about it, and when they talk about it, it's just statistics. So I'm going to talk about it too. Three out of four legal immigrants, Savannah, will vote for Democrats. I mean, in short order here, Texas is going to go blue, and then Arizona, and then Florida, and then North Carolina. And once that happens, it's all over for the Republican Party. We'll never get a president elected again. Congressional seats will be impossible to come by. And then all these negative ramifications, the things that the establishment GOP rails against every day, policies like socialism, collectivism, mass welfare, all of these things are going to become a political reality just by law, just by voting in the legislature. So that's the other reason why we need to halt immigration and get ourselves back on track.
So, Pete, I definitely maybe in the next segment want to talk more about how the GOP gatekeepers are letting us down. But I'm wondering, can you give us a little bit of a historical narrative on this? I mean, has it always been the policy of the United States of America to let people in without any questions, like kind of like we are now, where, you know, we have lotteries, we have spouse visas, we have if you come here illegally and then you ask really nicely, maybe we'll make you a citizen? Or has the United States, did it used to be harder to come here?
Yeah, it used to be a lot harder to come here. I mean, for half of the 20th century, there was an immigration moratorium in the United States. So from roughly 1920 to roughly 1965, until the 1965 Immigration Act, you could not come to the United States. I mean, almost period, right? I mean, there was almost zero immigration during that time. So the idea of a moratorium is not one that's brand new. In fact, it's one that's just sort of being recycled and coming back around. Now, it's also important to note that in the 90s, there was a push for an immigration moratorium. And into the early 2000s, the last elected official to advocate for a moratorium in the House of Representatives was the great Tom Tancredo, who in 2005 proposed a moratorium defined as net zero immigration. But unfortunately, couldn't get enough co-sponsors to even get it through committee. So this is not an idea that's brand new, Tom. It's just one that is coming back around. It's, I've got to say, based on the responses I've gotten over the past week from ordinary American conservatives, seems to be a very popular idea.
And Pete, do you think that this is going to be an ideal that will be popular among your voters? Or how do you plan on really selling this to the American people? Because when I first heard about this too, I'm glad you did further explain what a moratorium really means and what you meant by that. Because of course, I at first thought you meant no immigration at all. No one should be allowed in the country. And I was like, that's a bit extreme. And two, we all know that illegal or not even illegal immigration, but just immigration as a whole is always a really hot topic with people saying, well, it's not that we don't want immigration. We just don't want illegal immigration. How do you plan to sell this now to the American public, this moratorium? I know you said it's not really a new ideal, but I guess in terms of American politics right now, it's not really an ideal that's been pushed on a lot of people.
Sure. And so like the media, the left-wing media is going to do all they can to push back on this. And, you know, to a large extent, they've done the same thing that they've always done, which is just call us racists and try and dismiss our ideas. But, you know, I don't think, honestly, Savannah, that it's really even an issue of selling it to the American public. I think the American public is sold. There are several polls that you can look at, particularly ones where people don't have to worry about their party affiliation. Where they
and
say
Pete,
they
we're actually about to go to break. I want you to finish that thought on the other side.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Savannah Hernandez, and I'm joined by my co-host Tom Papert. Now we have Peter Diabrasca on with us this segment, and he is running for Congress in North Carolina. He was talking to us about his immigration moratorium, and I asked him, you know, based on the less ideology and what we as Americans have been sold about immigration, this kind of seems like an extreme idea to me. So talk to me about how you want to sell this to the American people. And he was explaining it in a really great way. Unfortunately, went to break. So I want him to finish what he was saying in that full thought.
Go ahead, Pete.
Sure. So, yeah, like I said, I don't think it's really about selling it to the American people. I think if you look at what the American people have said that they want, particularly in polls when they don't have to put down which party they belong to, the American people, I think 33% of them have said they want zero immigration. I mean, zero. You know, and then there are further categories like I want less immigration, and you get 15 or 20% and say, yeah, we want less immigration. So when it all boils down to it, there's tons of polling out there that says that Americans are done with legal immigration, a plurality of them, not just a few of them. And based on the reactions I've gotten so far, I mean, ordinary conservatives from all around the country have sent me thousands of messages over the past week, basically telling me to press forward and that they agreed with me. And you know, honestly, I expected it to be more of a mixed bag. I thought that there would be more conservatives who might push back, but it doesn't seem to be the case.
So, Peter, one of the things that I'm curious about, talk about how the GOP establishment and their allies in the establishmentarian media are really pushing back both against this idea and against you. I mean, I saw after your appearance on Tucker Carlson Tonight, you had mainstream Republicans tweeting out a Media Matters Talking Points memo about you. So kind of explain how folks are pushing hard against you from the establishment wing of the party.
Sure. Well, let's start by just clarifying that the blue check mark types, and I guess I can't use that term derogatorily anymore because I have one now. It seems weird, but
how does it feel to be elite, Pete?
Man, I'm not sure. I kind of want to give it back, to be honest.
You seemed upset earlier.
I'm awesome free cred, you know. But the only people that have been pushing back against this have been this sort of media personalities that you would expect, the ones from Washington, D.C., actually the elites, like you said, Savannah, right? So it's the Shapiro crowd. It's you know, some of the Fox News crowd. I mean, Fox News, let's be honest, it's pretty worthless outside of Tucker's show. It's the people who are bought and paid for by the Chamber of Commerce and by the Koch brothers style libertarian esque, you know, billionaire crowd. It's the crowd that puts GDP over humanity. It's the crowd that wants to cut the bottom line of their businesses, no matter what the impact is on the lives of ordinary Americans who might lose their jobs to foreigners who will work for more hours and for less money. The only people that seem to be against these ideas are the people who are the people whose organizations are funded by big GOP interests, by big lobbyists, by big money. It's not the ordinary people who think this is a bad idea. It's the elites. And to that point, I'd like to say that, you know, left-wing outlets will say these ideas are fringe, quote unquote. These ideas are not fringe. Our ideas are not fringe based on the reaction I've gotten. The ideas that are fringe are those of the DC elites, are the ideas that we should have unfettered mass immigration despite what happens to the American worker.
And, you know, Pete, you do make a good point with that, too. And I think it is a small group of people, just like we've seen with these impeachment hearings. It's really a small group of people who seems to be speaking for the majority of America for some reason, who seems to be saying, oh, no, this isn't what the average American wants. This is what the average American wants. The average American hates President Trump. The average American wants open borders. But again, like you said, it's this small group of people in Washington, D.C., who for some reason have such a loud voice and all this power that they think that they can speak for your average American man.
No, that's right. And it's the media cycle in action, right? It's Media Matters explaining what the narrative is and then the rest of the news media laundering that message to the American people, right? But when you look at who actually watches like mainstream cable left-wing media, it's not a whole lot of people. So, you know, there's not a big mass of or a big groundswell of people who want to impeach President Trump or a big mass or big groundswell of people who want mass legal immigration or mass illegal immigration. It's just that the people who are pushing these ideas happen to have the loudest voice because they sort of own the institutional power to get the message out. So, yeah, and we saw this, right? We saw this with the election of President Trump. We were told every day, yeah, don't even bother going to the polls. President Trump has no chance in 2016. And he won, right? All of the powers that be were wrong because the powers that be do not understand. Actually, it's not that they do not understand. It's that they refuse to listen to what the American people have to say. For years and years and years, the American people have been saying, we want less immigration. And the left has been giving them a middle finger and calling them racist. And the right has said, okay, we understand you want less immigration, but how about some tax cuts instead?
You know what, Pete?
That dynamic is over, right? Like people are sick of it. They understand that they're being played. And it seems like this idea is picking up, the idea of an immigration moratorium. And I think that going forward, you know, you're going to see a lot stricter of an immigration policy on the political right in America.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Pete. And I'm glad that you were able to clarify that because, again, just reading the headlines in terms of your Tucker Carlson segment, it did seem pretty extreme. So I'm glad we were able to come on here today and have you talk about what you really stand for, what you're really behind. I think you're a great candidate. And I'm so excited to see what you have in store for us for the rest of your run. You're so unique and, you know, you're real. You come on these shows, you come and have a conversation with us. And that's something that's really lacking in politics today that I feel like a lot of people always love and appreciate, Pete. So best of luck to you. And again, thank you so much for coming on with us. We did want a promo before this segment ended. Owen Schroyer is actually going to be coming up as well in this next hour. He's going to be in and out with us from 4 to 6 p.m. He's in New York right now, and he has a very, very special surprise for us. So he'll be Skyping in within, what, like the next 5 minutes?
Right. And if folks don't know what Owen is doing, I mean, it's the big set of brass ones on this guy cannot be discounted. So Owen, of course, has been in the InfoWars battle tank this past week. First, we saw him, as you said, in D.C., then in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Today, he's been in New York. Earlier today, you may have seen it during the Alex Jones show, Owen was outside the New York Times headquarters. That is, of course, the failing New York Times that is a shadow of what the gray lady was 50 years ago. And there is going to be another protest outside the New York Times headquarters today. Info warriors have been called to peacefully assemble there, legally, lawfully, peacefully assemble and go confront the New York Times for their fake news and their anti-American bias. So Owen will be back. Like you said, he's going to be Skyping in any minute now, and it's going to be very, very fun to see what Owen has to say.
And Tom, I know you've met Owen in person. I don't know if you've ever been to a protest with this man, but he is loud and he is in a truck with gigantic megaphones on it. So there is no way in hell that anyone is going to be able to overlook him. He's going to be the belle of the ball over there. And of course, just like we always do here at InfoWars, he's going to be making a big splash, red-pilling people, waking people up to the reality of the fake news that is the New York Times. They've been calling for him to be deplatformed off of his Twitter because of Monday, because he stood up and he interrupted the impeachment hearings that a lot of Americans are getting tired of. We're exasperated hearing impeach the president. Again, this is a president that we, the American people, elected, and we're so tired of these corrupt government officials coming forward and saying, no, this isn't who you want in office. Yes, it is. That's who we elected. So you need to let him out. Let him, you know, work out the rest of his term, be the president of these United States. So I'm very excited for this Skype call that we're going to be receiving, because, again, there's no way you can ignore Owen Schroyer, especially when he has a megaphone in his hand, let alone two on a truck.
Very, very true. And of course, Owen Starr is really rising. Those who have been watching the War Room for years now have to truly appreciate you guys were in on the ground floor as Owen is now becoming a household name. He's been smeared by the New York Times. He's been smeared by Vanity Fair, all the usual suspects, all the enemies you want to have, Owen now has.
Definitely. And folks, we need your help to get this word out, to get this live stream out. So band.video, go to your Twitter accounts, go to your Facebook accounts, retweet it out, post it everywhere, and get these next 2 hours of Owen Schroyer confronting the fake news media out everywhere. We need your help. Also, go to InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage of our 12 days of Christmas special. Tom, you and I didn't really plug this segment, so in this next first 5 minutes, while we're waiting for Owen to come on with us, we'll talk to you about some of the great specials we have. I'm actually really excited about today's. We'll tell you more about that on the other side.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show. The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at InfoWars.com/show.
Folks, my name is Savannah Hernandez. For our TV viewers, you are currently seeing Owen Schroyer live in front of the New York Times in New York City. This man has been all over America all week, thanks to our great viewers. Now, not only has it just been Owen Schroyer who has been making headlines and confronting our corrupt people in government, apparently Will Johnson also got to confront someone in government. Let's roll that clip now.
Any comment? Got nothing?
Nadler, how do you think the voters are going to look at this? How do you think the voters are going to look at this in the future?
Shame.
2020, Nadler.
You've broken your oath. But you know what? Keep doing
Nadler.
It. Keep doing it because the American people see through it. It's going to work in President Trump's favor. Keep it up. Keep
this
it up.
This is just going to give votes to Trump.
Shame on you,
Nadler.
Sir. Trump 2020.
You're going to make it for Trump.
Trump 2020. God
bless America.
You're
going to get Trump elected.
Trump is your president, and he will be in 2020.
Thank you, Nadler.
Shame on you, sir. You'll be exposed for your treason.
Wow, so not only Owen Schroyer making headlines and confronting those corrupt people in politics this week, also Will Johnson. I think I also saw a CBS video of him talking about how there will be a second civil war if Trump is impeached. That video got 1 million views as well. So every single InfoWars reporter, everything I feel like they touch just turns to gold out there.
Well, that's definitely right. And what I loved about that clip is how sad and pathetic it made Mr. Gerald Nadler look. I mean, this is a guy who, I mean, I guess...
All these hearings this week have been making him look so pathetic.
And you just look at him and he's green looking. He looks sick. He looks like I've been getting over a big stomach bug this week and I think I look better than Gerald Nadler. But, you know, he looks like he's from a Batman movie.
Where Tom, I was literally just about to say that. When I was a little kid, nothing terrified me more than Danny DeVito as the Penguin, and that is Jerry Nadler in the flesh. So if I ever saw him in real life, like he isn't he only like 5'1 as well? Like,
yes.
Oh gosh.
Short little guy.
I would cry.
I mean, he lost a ton of weight. God bless him for that. But he hasn't got any new suits. So there you can see him on screen now. That is Jerry Nadler in his previous occupation as Penguin, the former mayor of Gotham City who convinced everybody that he was on their side. And now he's doing the same exact thing in D.C., trying to convince everyone he's on their side as he destroys the nation. So a great job to Will Johnson for confronting that strangely proportioned little angry, sick man who, I mean, did you see the video, Savannah, earlier this week? He was visibly drooling, asleep at the wheel at the impeachment.
But he can't even handle his own gavel. It's like the guy next to him was like, oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Remember, you got to do this.
Yeah, of course. Okay. He has no idea what he's doing. You know, we call this a clown show for a reason. Just DC as a whole, all of these hearings, this impeachment, clown show. And we've seen that this week. We've seen that with Jerry Nadler. It's ridiculous. And I like the fact that he really hasn't had a break from the InfoWars reporters since Monday. Of course, like we said, Owen Schroyer went and confronted him, made headlines nationally, CNN, New York Times, everyone wrote about it because his opening statement was, of course, interrupted by Owen. And now Will Johnson is going and confronting him. And I'm glad people are finally going up to him and saying, hey, the American people aren't going to stand for this. Jerry Nadler, you're corrupt. And more than anything, all this impeachment is doing is boosting Trump ahead of 2020.
That's exactly right. And just another reminder, we're going to have Owen coming up, hopefully in the next segment. He's going to be protesting the New York Times times live in the InfoWars battle tank. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Savannah, he's going to be there for the next 2 hours. And we may have another in-studio guest. I'm not sure about that yet. Savannah, are you?
Potentially. Maybe we have a surprise for our viewers there. And unfortunately, Owen won't be able to host with us. We won't be able to ask him any questions because obviously he's on that bullhorn. He has a really big just audience there already. Not even audience. I think there's a lot of them are supporters, but we'll go ahead and see if we can get audio on this Skype feed and see what Owen's up to in New York City. We'll be right back after the short break.
Welcome back to the War Room. I am Tom Papert, guest hosting with the lovely Savannah Hernandez here. And we have Owen. I think we have Owen live in New York City as he protests the vulgar fake news of the New York Times. So should we see what's going on in New York?
Yeah, let's see what's going on.
Low unemployment. Thanks to President Trump. We have fair trade deals. Thanks to President Trump. We have a fair deal with NATO.
He's got his red for Russia suit on.
Well, you know, according to Vanity Fair, Owen's impeccable fashion sense is proof that he is a Nazi.
He's a wolf in a wool suit, just like Vanity there said.
That's right. Well, it does look like he has quite a crowd there.
Free Julian Assange. Awesome. We've got some supporters there. I see a Trump hat. Make America great again.
Now that is brave to wear in New York City.
Definitely.
He is in the lion's den.
So again, for our radio listeners, Owen Schroyer is currently in the InfoWars battle truck with those two huge megaphones in front of him. I was telling Tom earlier that Owen is a loud man, especially at protests. So putting two giant megaphones in front of him, no one is going to be able to pass this man up. Everyone on that whole block can hear him. I guarantee it.
It looks like we have our first belligerent here. Has a problem with what Owen has to say. Owen, of course, is not letting him slow it down.
And he was doing this earlier in the day, too. He went in front of the New York Times. He confronted them in the real world about wanting to censor him off of social media platforms. He said, hey, New York Times, you wanted to attack me. Well, here I am. Here I am exercising my First Amendment rights.
And you do have to wonder what's going through the heads of the phonies at the New York Times, as we saw last year with Alex Jones when he had the audacity to confront Oliver Darcy, a former employee of Glenn Beck, now working at CNN, who called for Alex to be banned. Oliver didn't like it very much. He kind of cowered and clammed up and got his eyes glazed over. So I can only imagine in the New York Times, it's a similar event happening now where everybody's, oh no, what do you think's going to happen next? What do you think's going to happen? Somebody's confronting us.
And I can guarantee they were all like at the window just staring down like, oh gosh, someone from InfoWars is here. And it's so funny too because Owen always talks about how no one ever reaches out for comment when they write these slander stories about him. Well, he's at their front door now.
That's right. I mean, it would be that easy. Just go.
And they still won't ask for comment.
Right.
They still won't.
Not only that, I would be shocked if New York Times covers this. I mean, it does not get any easier than this. The news is coming to your door. So let's see. It looks like some branch of law enforcement may be getting ready to confront Owen now. I see flashing lights.
And of course, because he is in New York City, there's large crowds on the street. So he's just red-pilling people as he goes. He is touting Trump's record economy growth, just going forward and just touting America, just chanting USA. And he's just there as a great patriot on the street. Again, folks, this is all you. Thank you to our listeners and our viewers. Owen Schroyer is in New York City right now because you go to the InfoWars store. You support us. You allow us to send InfoWars and Owen Schroyer all the way across the country to go red pill people on the East Coast.
Well, Well, that's right. I mean, getting the InfoWars battle-ready vehicle there all the way from Austin, Texas to New York, that is not an insignificant journey. Mm-hmm. Right. Not only that, Owen has to go with security everywhere he goes now because so many violent leftists want him to be attacked. They openly call for his demise. This is not a small feat, and it's completely possible thanks to the viewers who support InfoWars. And Savannah, you were talking about today's special, which I think is a phenomenal one.
Yes, 60% off bodies, which I'm sure Owen is going to have to be using after this week of getting punched and kicked by leftists after going from state to state. Now, this is a product that he personally uses and he raves about all the time, 60% off of bodies. I've tried it myself as well, and it is great for cramping. It's great for, you know, after a long workout at the gym. It's just, it's great. And I know turmeric has a lot of really great health benefits to it as well. I was talking to my mom about it, and she was like, you know, a lot of people in India eat it a lot, and it helps with their hair, their skin. So not only is this good for just, you know, relaxing your muscles, helping with cramping, and your overall health, it's just, it's great for you. It's also good for your immune system, joint function. Great product, $23.98 today, 60% off. Great product. I would highly recommend giving this to your friends and family for Christmas. Go drop it in someone's stocking. It's the perfect size for that.
Right. Well, beyond even just the idea of after you work out really hard or whatever your case may be, I mean, I've had a terrible cold followed by a bug, and it's just been miserable. And you know, Savannah, when you've got the aches and pain mm-hmm. that come with the modern common cold, it just was really getting me down, my back, my neck. No matter what I did, I couldn't sleep the other night. And I finally thought, you know, why am I wasting time with Tylenol? Why am I wasting time with all of these pills? I'm going to go take three or four bodies, and I slept like a baby. Of course, if you combine that with something like Knockout or something like Chill Force, works even better.
Yes, and actually yesterday we had Knockout on sale for 60% off. I believe that these specials, they just keep building up every single day for the whole 12 days of Christmas. So take advantage, folks. And I actually do want to go back to our live stream real quick because it looks like a pretty angry crowd is gathering. So I do want to see what people are saying on the street there. And then we'll get back to talking about our amazing products.
You are disgusting. Yeah,
so it looks like a gentleman is approaching a woman who is waving an American flag and screaming in her face. Always a lot of energy at these protests. And guys, make sure we're paying attention to this audio as well. And if we start to hear cussing, just pull that audio down.
Well, and this is, of course, it looks like, surprisingly, in New York City, truly the viper's den when it comes to the left. There is a large pro-InfoWars, pro-Trump presence here, which is very surprising and very encouraging. And it looks like, again, just that one guy shouting and screaming at a woman, nonetheless. He seems to be the anti-Trump protester who deigned to show up.
Right. And I was watching Owen's live stream earlier, and he did have those protesters coming up to him saying, F you, shut up, you're anti-American. And it's so funny because you can literally be waving an American flag, wearing the hat that our president himself has been marketing. That is the slogan of his whole entire campaign and what he stands for. And people are just like, oh, you hate America. What is wrong with you? Meanwhile, they're burning the American flag, trying to take away your Second and First Amendment. It's just such a backwards world, and I don't understand it.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, the left is now, you know, you said the Second and First Amendments, but the First Amendment is gone, big tech. The Second Amendment is being whittled away. You look at what's happening in Virginia, where mm-hmm. they're going to arrest people for merely teaching someone else how to use a gun. The Fourth Amendment is totally gone. They're getting rid of due process with the impeachment scandal. Right. It is turning into a total Orwellian hellscape. And then you've got people like Owen Schroyer, people like Alex Jones, who are out there trying to push back against this, and they are called anti-American.
So ridiculous. And of course, thank God we have Owen to go out in the real world and go confront people. And again, folks, you know, these things aren't cheap. These things take money and time. It takes other fill-in host to come sit in for Owen for his show to allow him to go do that. And of course, in order for us to hire more people, in order for us to have Tom Papert come all the way into studio, we need your support. And again, this is all you folks. You guys are really the ones behind this effort. You guys are the one that are also there helping Owen to get the word out, to go and confront all of these people. You know, again, such great specials at InfoWars Store. I cannot push this enough, folks. Not even that. But like I said, too, we haven't even been pushing the fact that on every single order, you get 5 free stickers, 10 free stickers on large orders, and we have our sticker pack, $10 for 40 stickers, Tom. And I love giving stickers to little kids. I mean, they're good for teenagers. Adults love them. Put them on your laptop. Everyone loves stickers, and ours are such a high quality. The print is beautiful. They're great. Everything's great.
That's absolutely right. And we need your support as we go into Christmas. And why not? If you're going to do your Christmas shopping, why would you throw it at some globalist like Jeff Bezos when you could use it to help fight for America at InfoWarsStore.com?
Definitely. And I think I need some TurboForce to get me through the rest of this segment today. What about you, Tom?
I could certainly use it.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point. Natural selection, the process by which the strongest, the smartest, the fastest reproduced in greater numbers than the rest, a process which had once favored the noblest traits of man, now began to favor different traits. Most science fiction of the day predicted a future that was more civilized and more intelligent. But as time went on, things seemed to be heading in the opposite direction, a dumbing down.
Harvard researchers have found children who live in high fluoride areas have significantly lower IQs.
Enjoy your extra big-ass fry!
Researchers found members of Congress, on average, speak at a 10th grade level. Most Americans read at an 8th or 9th grade level.
Look, now I'll talk slow so as you can understand me.
It was just a few thousand years ago that our ancestors were using primitive grunts to communicate.
Hillary's a good leader. I trust Hillary. Hillary is a good leader.
I stand here as a freed slave.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb, for real.
Mankind became stupider at a frightening rate.
You're a white male!
You want to know what I found out? Most of England speaks Americanish.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far.
I believe that our education, like such as South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa.
What does that mean?
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm kids, according to 2 new studies in the journal Pediatrics.
We now go live to Violence Channel correspondent for Micah Davis at the Extreme Court with highlights on today's trial.
Good to see you in this exercise in transparency and democracy.
Is that what it is?
A great dust bowl had ravaged food supplies. And the number one movie in the country was called Ass.
If Mr. Trump is suggesting that there is a conspiracy theory, that's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense.
Of course the elections will not be rigged. What does that mean?
How many sides does a triangle have?
Damn, 4.
There's no sides.
What's Osama bin Laden most infamous for?
Osama?
Yeah.
Or Obama?
Osama.
I have no idea who Osama is.
A little further south from that facility, there's a completely separate building where they, get this, change raw sewage water into water people drink.
Water.
like out the toilet.
But Brondo's got what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Once your head would be bigger.
Infowars.com.
It's a circus, everybody! Look!
Yeah, look! Look at the monkey!
I did that on purpose!
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we present to you the 2019 Idiocracy Awards, brought to you by Brondo, Monsanto, Merck, and the flu vaccine.
Welcome to the 2019 Idiocracy Awards. My name is Savannah Hernandez, and I am joined by my awards co-host, Tom Papert. Now, Tom, there is no short supply of idiots in America, especially since 2016, so I don't know how, but our amazing producers have narrowed this down to three top clips. In third place for the 2019 Idiocracy Awards, we have Viva La Push.
Maybe just like some witty banter for 2
I don't think they're pushing hard enough.
I mean, clearly it's all about forward momentum in a situation like this. But
like the wheels are moving though, so obviously it is working. They're pushing. Yes, they're going to get difference. A third guy in. They're getting a third guy for radio viewers. There's three guys in the bed of a truck, and they're pushing the truck to try to get it out of the mud.
It's working.
It worked.
Truly, truly deserving of number three in the Idiocracy Awards.
That was third place. Viva La Push in our 2019 Idiocracy Awards. Now, that was a really great start. So I'm very excited for our second place, which is Life's a Drag. Let's go to that. For our radio listeners, number two, Life's a Drag. We have got a fine gentleman who is dragging a dolly upside down.
No need for wheels for our number two winner. No, drag metal on concrete.
Wheels up. You know, I actually prefer it this way because then it actually preserves the wheels. You don't want to overuse them, you know, too much because that's not the purpose of the dolly, actually.
No.
And then you're going to have to, like, put air into them. And, I mean, what's the purpose of them having wheels anyway?
Absolutely zero purpose. Not as our number two winner just showed us. Truly deserving and one of the biggest idiots of 2019.
Yes. And at number one for our awards, Gas Bag Lady, I'm very excited to see this clip after those last two. Our number one winner of the Idiocracy Awards 2019 is Gas Bag Lady. Oh, okay. So we have a nice woman here. She has a trash bag full of gasoline.
I don't know what she's planning to do with it, but she is certainly filling it up.
But she's double knotting it at the top so that it doesn't spill out.
Very intelligent. Very intelligent. Now she is walking away from the shopping bag of gasoline.
I actually don't see anything wrong with this because she obviously just needed some gasoline. Like, what else was she going to put it in? I mean,
she's going to double bag it.
Oh, she's okay. Okay. Guys, I was worried because this woman was putting gasoline in a plastic bag and just, you know, tying it up. I thought she was going to take it, but she's double bagging it.
Oh, no, it's spilling out. There's a leak.
It's spilling out everywhere.
This is why she was double bagging. She's clearly thinking ahead.
You know what this reminds me of? That scene in Zoolander where they're drinking orange mocha frappuccinos and they have a gasoline fight. That's literally what's happening in this clip.
Truly deserving of number one. Okay, she's loading it into her trunk and she's going to make it.
Ooh, okay, perfect. She double bagged it, so she stopped the leak.
When you bag your gasoline in a shopping cart bag, make sure to double bag it and knot it at the top.
I also prefer to use paper instead of plastic when I'm trying to bag my gasoline just because it's more environmentally
friendly. It is better for the environment. Mm-hmm. That is my only criticism for the number one idiot of 2019. But what a momentous day for morons everywhere. We truly had two strong contenders, but number one, I don't know what the woman was going to do with all that bagged gasoline, but Savannah, I have to give her a round of applause.
Number one took the cake. Hopefully she's not a cigarette smoker, because based on that, I mean, that's not going to work.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Idiocracy Awards, and they were truly moronic. Happy, happy victory to the number one winner, the gas bag lady. But we do have an honorable mention, and it is from the one, the only, the unforgettable Jerry Nadler. Let's go to the honorable mention. There you can see Mr. Nadler with, yes, that does appear to be drool dripping out of his mouth as he impeaches President Trump.
You know, in Jerry Nadler's defense, I fall asleep when I listen to the impeachment hearings, and oftentimes I drool a little bit too. So, I mean, he probably is just bored to death.
I do fear that death may be part of this. He does not look to be a well man, but he didn't quite make top three, but we had to give him an honorable mention.
Honorable mention. Great clips, though, and you know what? These year's awards were just so great. I can't wait for 2020.
I don't know how 2020 could top what we've seen this year, but I have full and complete faith in the lowered IQ of the American public, drunk on fluoride and trained by the public schools. I just think next year might just top this.
Definitely, but Tom, we don't even have to wait until next year. I know that there's a whole entire group of people who may or may not be idiots surrounding Owen Schroyer in New York City right now. Let's see how that live stream is going.
Internet. The New York Times wants to be the only voice out there.
He's on the move.
That's
he's driving down the street.
Every American has the right to free speech. Why does the New York Times want to end the First Amendment? Why does the New York Times lie about President Trump? The New York Times lies about Donald Trump. And then the average reader that believes him goes out and commits violence against Trump supporters. We cannot stand for this.
Again, for our viewers who are just joining us, Owen Schroyer is in New York City with the InfoWars truck. The New York Times called for him to be deplatformed after his impeachment disruption. So he went to confront them in the real world. We saw that that little police car go up to the truck. So maybe they had to move because it looks like they are on the move now. Or maybe they're just going down the street so that everyone in every block of New York City can hear Owen's message today about the New York Times and the truth about their organization.
And of course, earlier today, Alex Jones called for Info Warriors in New York, which apparently there are quite a few, to go and join Owen. Earlier, we saw a group of at least 20 to 50. I mean, it was a decent number of people there protesting the New York Times with Owen Schroyer. As you said, Savannah, it looks like perhaps he decided to move or was compelled to start driving by the wonderful New York police officers, who of course are sworn to serve a tyrant there in that despicable city. But Owen is not letting it stop him. He is still bullhorning, and my goodness, the lungs on Owen Schroyer. He's been doing this basically nonstop for 3 days now.
I cannot imagine how his voice feels, because he's not only been yelling at politicians, at protesters, with Trump supporters, but now at the New York Times and all the people of New York, again, just going there, touting Trump's successes, telling the people about the reality of the New York Times and what they really think about free speech. Let's hear what he has to say right now.
If they can ban InfoWars, they can ban you too.
Looks like he has some hecklers.
Oh, man. These
It looks like more potential runners-up for our 2019 Idiocracy Awards are following Owen right now in New York City.
It's amazing. We thought that we found the top three with the honorable mention, Mr. Jerry Nadler, but Owen, it's like flies attracted to honey. Owen being the honey, the flies being the absolute morons who cannot stand that a man is expressing his First Amendment rights. And again, he's there to protest the New York Times call to ban him. He's been totally slimed by the New York Times, as has InfoWars, as has most definitely Alex Jones. And this is kind of the new modus operandi for the left, that they will say whatever they want about you and you're not allowed to respond.
And that just reminds me of Roger Stone. You know, they gagged him. They were allowed to write all of these slanderous stories about him. And then guess what? You're not allowed to defend yourself. You're not allowed to have your freedom of speech. Gag order.
Right. And even now, after he has been convicted, found guilty, and he is awaiting sentencing, he is still not allowed to have a freedom of speech, or they will immediately throw him in jail as he awaits his 20 to 50 year sentence for daring to delegitimize the mainstream media.
Let's see what Owen is chanting about now.
Trump 2020. Another liberal hater who flicks me off. Another one. Go home to mommy, loser.
Oh, Owen. Keep it classy.
Trump 2020.
And again, this is in a city. I mean, upstate New York is fairly conservative. New York City is probably 98.9% liberal. This is Hillary Clinton's stomping grounds, and Owen is taking the fight to their front door.
And that's the thing about InfoWars. We're going to go out in the 3D world. We're going to go confront people. And again, all of this is made possible by our listeners. They're the backbone of this organization. They're the ones that are helping Owen in New York City right now go out and just bullhorn and just wake people up to the reality of what's going on in our country, what's going on with our freedom of speech, with our Second Amendment, with the impeachment hearings, with the IG report. The list goes on and on.
Right. I mean, I have seen, everybody knows that I'm kind of a fly on the wall when I pop it down here to the InfoWars HQ. I've seen some of the plans, and with the support from InfoWars viewers at InfoWarsStore.com, taking advantage of the fantastic sales, this is going to become an incredibly common occurrence as we head into 2020. We're going to see Owen, we're going to see Alex, we're going to see top members of the InfoWars crew going out and taking their activism into the real world. You know, they can shut us down on social media, but so long as the InfoWars battle truck continues to roll on four wheels, they will never silence InfoWars.
And folks, you don't need a battle truck to go and make a difference either. Go get our sticker pack. Again, $10, 40 stickers. Go and stick those on flyers all around the city. Go and hand them out to people and go tell them, hey, have you ever heard of InfoWars.com? Have you ever watched the broadcast? They're the ones that are going to be filtering through all this fake news for you, breaking things down from a real standpoint, giving you that unbiased and factual news.
That's right, Savannah. And I mean, I would never advocate anybody do anything illegal, of course. We are
don't do anything illegal.
Legal people here. But I've personally seen a Punch Nazi sticker put in a public space where it was legal to put it in my hometown, Wichita, Kansas. And every day I would drive by and I would just be infuriated. And one day I drive by and it's actually on my way home from church. So every Sunday I would stop the car at the traffic light and just seethe in anger at the Punch a Nazi sign. One day I drive by and somebody had slapped right on the top of it. And again, it's put in a legal place that was public and anybody could do it. They weren't breaking the law. Somebody slapped on top of that Punch a Nazi sticker and InfoWars.com sticker. I think it was a beautiful, beautiful method of protest. And of course, Savannah, perhaps we shouldn't be surprised by this. After an InfoWars sticker replaced the Punch a Nazi sticker, it was promptly removed 2 or 3 days later. Both stickers.
Of course. Our boys in the back name keyed the InfoWars truck Badass Battle Tank. Very fitting. Looks like they're at an intersection now, so there's huge masses of people all around Owen. I see an Alex Jones mask there in the left corner, too.
Mm. I mean, it is amazing the amount of support InfoWars and President Trump are receiving in the epicenter of degeneracy known as New York.
Wow, why are liberals so obsessed with genitalia? Why are you so obsessed with genitalia?
I think I watched him get flipped off like 5 times within the 10 seconds that we had him up. All right, folks, we'll be right back on the other side. We'll have more of this live stream of Owen in New York City where he is bullhorning and red-pilling people as we speak. Stay tuned.
Infowars.com/show.
At to the War Room, I am Tom Papert, guest hosting with the lovely Savannah Hernandez. We are still with Owen Schroyer, who is bullhorning the New York Times in the Infowars battle tank. Let's bring him on screen whenever we are able. Owen is, of course, at the New York Times in New York City right now. They called for his deplatforming after he had the audacity to confront Jerry Nadler, and he's been bullhorning ever since. God bless this man. It looks like, again, Savannah, a Trump 2020 sign there on the right side of the screen. Amazing the amount of info warriors and Trump supporters in New York.
Trump 2020.
Definitely, especially since, like you were telling me, there it's a very liberal city.
Out here talking about genitalia.
But it looks like he has gotten a lot
of love. What is up with you guys? Why are you all so perverted? Why are all these Democrat Trump haters so perverted? So, like, Joe Biden. Why did... Joe Biden touch and sniff every kid he ever sees.
Oh, yeah, oh my goodness.
That's funny, but he doesn't. Look up Joe Biden.
How did Owen know we were laughing, Joe Tom? You think that's funny?
Joe Biden is a pervert that gropes little children.
Yeah, imagine if a video of Donald Trump, like, caressing children like that came out.
Well, I mean, we've seen all the photoshopped images that the liberals make go viral on Facebook, never mind the fact that they're fake news, where you have him with his daughter Ivanka next to Jeffrey Epstein. Total fake, total Photoshop, total fake image, and yet those go viral, but nobody mentions all of the videos of Joe Biden. Maybe while we have Owen on the screen, the crew can bring up joebiden.info, the unofficial campaign website for Joe Biden that has like 70 different GIFs of creepy Uncle Joe getting entirely too intimate with young children. There's one now. That's a grown woman, so at least good for him going for somebody who is able to defend herself.
Wait, right here?
Is that a girl?
Yeah, I think this is a little girl.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, it's so commonplace. And
that
of course,
is a small child, Tom.
well, and it's interesting, Savannah. I mean, nobody wants to talk about the fact that he does this to children. Mm-hmm. We've had earlier in the campaign cycle, something like 4 women came out and said it creeped them out when Biden sniffed their hair or touched their shoulders or whatever the case may be. But nobody except Owen Schroyer is standing up for the actual children involved.
Especially in this Me Too culture that we live in where, you know, women need to be respected. And as a woman, too. I don't like it when people get too close to me. So watching these videos of Joe Biden, if I had someone coming up to me, touching me in those areas, smelling my hair like that, it's just uncomfortable. It's not a respectful thing. And it's not somebody who the leader of, you know, your country should be acting like.
Right. And there's, of course, joebiden.info for the radio listeners. This is a website that has compiled something like 50 different GIFs of Biden being creepy with children. And Savannah, you are a tough person. We've seen you confront liberals. We've seen you go to Hong Kong. We've seen you all kinds of things that would make the average person shirk away. I imagine if Joe Biden were to touch you like this, he would probably be losing some of those fingers that he used.
Oh, definitely. He would hear it from me because, again, very uncomfortable. Don't like that at all. I don't even like watching the videos. I feel like it's Halloween right now. I'm watching a horror movie looking at this website. I don't like it. I don't like it.
So let's see. What is Owen doing? Is he still shouting about Joe Biden or is he back to being flipped off by the degenerate locals?
Seeing a pattern here. We actually might be losing some connection. Sorry, guys. Say that again.
So, of course, Owen is in the middle of New York. I imagine that he's got hundreds of people live streaming all around him, because when Owen does something like this, it becomes massive news despite all the bans. So our Skype connection is going in and out. But for those who are just tuning in, Owen is outside the New York Times. He's been, I mean, let's kind of do a quick recap, Savannah, of everything Owen has done this week. Of course, the week started with Owen storming the impeachment hearings, calling Jerry Nadler and the Democrats.
Actually, the week started the day before that when he confronted Al Green in the airport in D.C. So, folks, see, we can't even keep track. Owen Schroyer is literally so on fire that we can't even keep track of all the people he confronted. So, okay, he confronted Al Green in the airport, and then...
Then, of course, he stormed the impeachment hearings and screamed that Jerry Nadler and the Democrats are traitors. There's, of course, Al Green being confronted. These are very stooped, sad-looking men, are they not? All of them. But, of course, then the next day, Owen Schroyer went to the Hershey, Pennsylvania Trump rally, where he was assaulted by a geriatric, confused, angry-looking woman. Then, of course, Owen went to New York. He spent last night there bullhorning. He continued there today. I don't know what's next for Owen, but I do not know how this man can turn into more of a superstar than he's become this week.
I don't know either. Viral clips everywhere, racial attacks, Trump rally. I mean, what more could we ask for from this man? Now he's in New York letting everyone know that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, touting Trump's accomplishments, calling out the New York Times for their fake news and slander. He's on fire this week, folks. And again, this is all thanks to you. Go to the InfoWars store because we have great sales, 60% off that bodies, which again, Owen Schroyer is definitely going to have to utilize after this week, from getting punched, from getting kicked, from all of this traveling that he's doing. I'm sure he's taking these to help ease his sore muscles, and maybe even to the knockout aid, 60% off right now, because I'm sure after such a big day like that, you know, you're just hyped up on adrenaline, right? And this would be a great sleep aid to help calm down after a long day of protest.
I can only imagine the products he'll be able to tout when he gets back. I mean, to have this level of energy, you know, he's using the Turbo Force, which gives you 10 hours of clean, wonderful energy. And then when the day is over, when he's sitting at the hotel room or whatever the case may be, I can only imagine, like you said, you've got to at least have some knockout, maybe some Chill Force, anything to be able to sleep and recoup for the next day. Because Owen has not taken a break in all of this. He just keeps going. He's turning into the Energizer Bunny. That can't happen without Turbo Force, knockout, probably some Chill Force in there.
Definitely. And then remember, folks, too, that with every single order, you get 5 free stickers, 10 stickers for free on big orders. Now, the whole crew and even my own mom texted me, and everyone keeps talking about this bruise. Maybe I need one of our little mini InfoWars stickers to put over it so everyone stops mentioning it.
Well, and of course, Savannah, I'm sure you took that you got that bruise while taking punches for
from the liberals, the crazed liberals. Oh, gosh. Now, this is my little sister. Not a crazed liberal, just my little sister. Oh, and we do have Owen back. So let's go back to that live stream and see how our protest is going.
America, the New York Times is calling for an end to the First Amendment. The New York Times is calling for an end to free speech. Americans must stand together and rally around free speech. We cannot let the fascists at the New York Times silence us. We cannot let the corporate overlords tell us what we can and can't say. America is all about self-government. America is all about independence. America is all about free speech. Everything the Democrats hate. We cannot let the Democrats get into office. They will end the First Amendment.
What's the plural to moose?
Trump 2020. Trump 2020. Trump 2020. Trump 2020. Trump 2020. Why? Why? Tell me why. You can't put someone in jail for nothing. You want to know why Democrats hate Trump? Record low unemployment.
Too bad. Sam, brought me a sticker, everybody. We're going to say, all right, come here, Sam. Come put it over my bruise.
Donald Trump,
yeah, y'all didn't know these doubled as Band-Aids, did you?
Something the Democrats couldn't do for 40 years. Look at what happens when Democrats get in power. Look at the state of California. California has more poverty and homelessness than any other state in the union. They also have more billionaires. Oh, yeah. Oh, you don't like the record economic growth? You don't like the record low unemployment? You hate free speech? Spoken like a true fascist.
See, my favorite thing about Owen, too, is he calls people out on, okay, you hate Trump. Well, you hate free speech. You hate record unemployment. Because these are true things that have been happening that, again, are so masked by our media. Trump has been phrased in such a negative light. So it's so imperative that we have people out on the street repping our InfoWars Band-Aids, getting the truth out.
Well, and what you just said is really the reason why Owen is such a powerful voice. I mean, this all started in 2016 when Owen went viral for simply asking, how is Trump like Hitler? And you saw some of that in the Idiocracy Awards, where the guy just responds, he's a effing white male, and calling him a Nazi. This has been Owen since day one, and now he's still out there, now in New York, speaking truth to these lemmings.
Yeah, folks, y'all didn't know, but Tom Papert, he supports Trump and he's white, so he's like literally Hitler. Someone please come help me.
Literally Hitler, just like Owen Schroyer.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the last hour of this Thursday's War Room. I'm not Owen Schroyer. I am Savannah Hernandez, who is sitting in for Owen, who has been all over America. I'm also here with my co-host, Tom Papert. Obviously, he's not here right now. We are patiently waiting for him, just like we're patiently waiting for Owen Schroyer, whose stream just dropped, unfortunately. But he is in New York right now, where he is bullhorning everyone. He is red-pilling people left and right. He's in that InfoWars battle tank where he is. Again, I was telling Tom, this is a loud man, okay? If you go to a protest with Owen Schroyer, you can hear him clear as day in the middle of 100 screaming liberals. So having him in front of two megaphones on a truck, there's no way that anyone is able to overlook and not able to hear Owen. Okay, here's Tom Papert back in studio. Hello, hello. Welcome back. I was just telling our viewers here that Owen's been doing a great job in New York. You and I just recently did a recap of everything that he's done this week. He has been on fire, making national headlines, and again, all thanks to our viewers.
That's right. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Thanks to the viewers. Owen cannot be ignored. InfoWars cannot be ignored. When you've got somebody going to the impeachment hearings and calling out the Democrats for what they are, traitors who hate America, he was national news. And this is really, I mean, Owen was a star before, but after this week, he has cemented his place in the long legacy of American heroes.
Definitely. And I do want to roll clip 17 real quick, because this was Owen this morning. Now, this man has been working since sun up and now sun down. So let's see what he was doing this morning in front of New York Times.
The New York Times said that I should be banned from the internet and I shouldn't have free speech. So I decided to come right out in front of the New York Times with a 1,000 watt PA system and tell them that I have a right to free speech and they're not going to shut it down. And we stand for the First Amendment, our God-given right in the United States of America.
All right, folks. So, Tom, I don't know about you, but I would love to open the phone lines to callers in this last hour so we can get our listeners' take on what they think about Owen bullhorning in New York, about everything that he's done this week, what they think of the impeachment hearings, the Steele dossier, the fake news media, anything that you'd like to call in about that we've been talking about today. Please do so at 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. Give us a call. Me and Tom are patiently waiting, and we would love to hear what you think about all of this activism and also what you're going to do ahead of 2020 to wake people up, to go out and spread the word about the broadcast.
Let's do it. I'm excited to take calls. And really, it'll be interesting because the folks who have been watching this program since day one have such a informed view of who Owen Schroyer is. And I'm sure we have tons of new people tuning in, hoping that Owen is eventually going to be back in one of these chairs. But the man just can't quit being out there, finding new eyeballs, making new connections. So it'll be very interesting. I'm looking forward to talking to the viewers and the listeners to find out what it's been like to follow Owen through this process.
Definitely. It looks like people are already calling in, a lot of excitement, a lot of energy from our viewers, our listeners, about everything that's been going on this week, and from our hosts as well. You know, Alex has had a great energy this week. He's been fired up. He's been just so adamant about saying, hey, you know, we really need to call people to action ahead of 2020, remind the viewers that this is all them and that they too need to go out in the 3D world and play their part, because, you know, this isn't something that we can do by ourselves. We need the help of everyone to take back America, to spread the word, you know, to revive 1776.
That's right. It looks like one of our first callers is actually from New York. Should we go to Joe?
Joe, actually, we have 30 seconds left until we go to this break. Nope. So we will go to Joe in New York right after this short break. Folks, while you are waiting for us to get back, go to InfoWarsStore.com and go get a sticker. Go get one of our stickers that also double as Bruce covers. Very, very handy.
Welcome back to the World Best Hosting with So we are taking your calls. Owen Schroyer, of course, is live in New York, bullhorning the New York Times. Our first caller is Joe from New York. Joe, you are on the line. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Joe.
Going great.
Yo, I am so happy Owen's in New York. You know, I've been waiting for this moment for so long that I believe that thanks to you guys, I was more awakened in the last 2 years since I've been listening to Owen. And now I got my other half basically into Alex Jones in the morning and everything. So thank you. By the way, I just got shadowbanned on Twitter. Briefly. So, but what I'm calling to let you guys know about is in New York, you know how they're talking about cashless society? Well, the MTA bus transit in New York has decided to basically put it on a basically cashless society phone setup system.
So folks will pay with their phone when they go to use the transit now, essentially?
Yeah, pretty much. But I bet at some point they're going to moderate it to the chip at some point.
Absolutely.
Are you talking about like people getting microchipped and them paying with that?
Well, eventually it'll lead to that, but right now they're using a Omni system, which you can scan your phone that already has the chip in it.
So you're saying this is like the beginning stages to that microchipping, which we're already seeing here in Austin. Right.
With the homeless people. And of course, what another good place to beta test this, New York. Do you expect the people of New York are just going to accept that this is the new way the life works?
I mean, me and my other half, we're terrified. You know, we're really terrified. Like, when I first started noticing it, when me and her were getting on the bus, and we looked up, and she's like, what is that? I'm like, my guess is that's going to be the next trip. And now they already tested it, phones. And then by next year, they're going to fully have this fully automated so we can't use MetroCards or coins anymore.
Well, Joe, it's so important that you go out and you start bringing light to this. You share this broadcast so people do understand what this is, the beginning phase of. Thank you so much for your call and for bringing light to us. You know, that's happening over there now. Let's go ahead and jump to another caller, Dave in Utah, who wants to give props to Owen.
Absolutely, Savannah. It's the second time this week I've called in, but since you're filling in, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Pleasure. I'm glad to see it's a couple of young people about half my age doing a great job. So.
Thank you.
Anyway, like I said, I was studying a lot of this stuff before I even knew who Alex was, or I mean, before he even came around, really, and listening to some other predecessors before him. But Owen's doing it. I mean, he's doing what we all want to do for sure, and a lot of us want to do, and I don't think enough people out there, especially these leftists, what are they thinking? Because, I mean, you lose your First Amendment, and if you lose that Second Amendment, you're going to lose everything else. It's that simple. I mean, they've already put through the Patriot Act and a bunch of other pieces of legislation over the last 20 years, they've already put a damper on pretty much holding the Constitution by a thread anyway. And so the thing is we all have to be very outspoken and stand upright for these basic principles that were endowed by our Creator. And, you know, when I was on the Central Committee of the Republican Party here in Utah, I mean, I got right into Senator Hatch and Bennett's face about the Patriot Act, about Patriot 1. And then after Patriot 2 was passed, I did it again because I was probably one of the only people that read it when I had access to it. And it was... I mean, it's pathetic. I mean, what's in those things? I mean, just for having this conversation, we could be held as enemy combatants right now. It's ridiculous.
Right. No, that's exactly right. I mean, the left has piecemeal basically invalidated the Constitution at this point. The First Amendment is gone via social media. The Second Amendment is under severe attack, and it's already in some ways gone. I mean, the founders didn't see all of these phony little restrictions, and now, of course, they have Virginia, where soon the police will be bashing in doors with battering rams to confiscate rifles. The Fourth Amendment is totally gone. We have no privacy. They're very busy right now impeaching President Trump, doing away with all rights to be innocent until proven guilty, convicted by a jury of your peers. The Constitution, what's left of it, is absolutely, you're right, hanging by a thread.
You know, then the ecclesiastical leaders of my faith have been warning about this for a very, very long time. We're talking a couple hundred years here, and you know, in this nation. And but you know, if we stand up, if it shall be saved at all, I mean, it's going to be for people like us. And so it's I think there's a lot more out there than people really think, because the media makes it sound like this leftist idea is what's really we know the corporate media. I was taught by a very wise father who had top secret clearances in one of the militaries when he was in. He taught me very young that the corporate media was nothing but was paid propaganda for the communist socialist takeover of America. And I was told that when I was a very young kid, when I was about 12, 13 years old. And he was exactly right.
Well, that's definitely right. It sounds like that you had a very, very good upbringing, and I hope that you've carried this on with your children. I mean, that's the way that we make change, is by educating, I mean, first with your family, then with friends, and of course, spreading links like band.video and Infowars.com help as well. It sounds right. Like you had a phenomenal upbringing.
It was great, and I'll tell you, Savannah, right now, I'm telling you, I mean, my sons, I have my two oldest sons, in their early 20s, they're real men. They're real men, I'm telling you.
That's very important. Good. It sounds like they're being raised by a very smart man and someone who listens to this broadcast, so I'm sure they're true alpha males.
That's right.
Yes, they are, yeah. I've talked to Owen about one of the college athlete. I'm a former college athlete myself, but my one son's a college athlete. My other son doing quite well in his apprenticeship for his business and stuff, but he... let me tell you a little story. I'll be real fast. We were back in Cooperstown, New York, Baseball Hall of Fame, for, 12-year-old tournament. They have back there. It's like a 12-week thing, 12-year-olds for 12 weeks. We were back there, and Hall of Fame inductions were going on at the same time that we were there. It was kind of a bonus for us. But anyway, this elderly African-American woman was getting out of a car on Main Street there in Cooperstown. Cooperstown is just a tiny place with the Baseball Hall of Fame there. And so anyway, he's only 12. He was only 12 years old at the time. He's 23 now. But he went right over there and noticed that this woman was kind of straight. He went over, opened her door, put out his arm. She grabbed it. And she says, "Thank you, young man. I just can't get anyone to help me these days with these so many people. I'm so glad that you've done this." And she was the widow of an African American ball player that played in the Negro Leagues back in the 30s and 40s.
Wow!
And she was the widow. And anyway, she was just so grateful just for that.
Well, and Dave, those stories are the stories that I love hearing. And I know that those men are the men that are raised up by strong fathers with, a mom by the side as well. Strong family. Those are the ideals that we definitely want to see in our society today. Because as we've been talking about all week, we do live in this culture of degeneracy where we don't have those gentlemanly ideals anymore. We don't have men who are willing to go and walk an old lady across the street. So let's bring that back. And that's such a great story. And it's nice to know that there are still young men who are out there and are doing that. Thank you so much for your call, Dave. We have a full call list over here, so I promise we'll get to everyone. Thomas, Chris, Sam, Andrew, Savage Jenny, Richard, Benny, David, Corinne, and Jefferson. We will be getting to all of your calls on the other side of this short break. Stay tuned. This has been Savannah Hernandez and Tom Papert in this last hour of The War Room.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Do you hear that? That's the song of the InfoWars, Treadmill Shrimp, my favorite guest on this show. And if we don't roll video of him right now, I will have a whole Alex Jones-style meltdown. All right, there he is. He's not running yet. Come on. He's almost. Okay, there he goes. There he goes. He's running. He's powering the InfoWars studios here. And he is powered by Turbo Force. As you can see, he wouldn't have the energy to keep going as long as he has if it wasn't for the Turbo Force and that filtered water from our very own water filters, which you can find on InfoWarsStore.com. So very special thanks to the InfoWars Shrimp for joining us on this broadcast. He's my favorite guest. I always love it when he comes on.
It's funny, Savannah. I was actually on with Owen. It was a 24 or 36 hour broadcast. And I believe it was the first time that the InfoWars Shrimp deigned to appear here on the program. Typically, he's behind the scenes, keeping the production facilities up and running, keeping the lights on. It's very rare that he's able to multitask and both give us his attention and keep things running.
Right, and I know it was a couple months prior to that extremely long broadcast, too, when Jake Lloyd had finally broken him out of that government facility where they were, testing him and spending millions, but I know thousands for sure of taxpayer dollars to run him on that treadmill. Now he powers our studios, lucky us. But now that I'm done with all that hype over the InfoWars Shrimp and our amazing water filters and our Turbo Force, of course, let's get back to our phone calls. Let's go ahead and go to Chris in Kentucky, who wants to talk about three things that Owen is doing.
Hello, Savannah.
Hello.
It's an honor to talk to you and to the InfoWars. A former left winger is now an InfoWarrior. I tell you, what Owen has done is what we need all to do. When I heard that report, what he did with Jerry Nadler Monday, that clip, I'm 58 years old. I jumped around like a 20-year-old. That is what needs to be done. Folks, other past shows, David Knight even made his point. Get to your state, county, your commissioners in your local area. Get groups together. Meet with these people. There's a lot of good people in government, and there's people that are doing the right thing, don't know the tyrannical of the New World Order that's leaping over their shoulder, That's what we got to let them know. The 5G, a lot of these, the 5G that's going to just deteriorate our minds, our brains, everything is just absolutely, it's just a time, I'm 58 and I'm just so wound up because we're living in some times that I have this feeling that 2020 is going to be a real, I hope, a Paul Revere time and get Trump reelected. Because if we get a dictator in there, it's over for the country. And what Owen is doing, we all need to do that. We all need to go to our state like I said, go to your state capitals, your county commissioners. Don't be afraid. These are your public servants, people. This is our country. It belongs to the people, not the government or the global tyrants. It's our country. We the people.
Definitely. And I agree with you. And I felt the exact same fire in my soul when I watched that clip on Monday. It made me want to get up and start taking action. And it reminded me that you're completely right. The government is not here for us to serve them. They are here to serve us. The government should not be running things the way that they have been. The government, this small amount of people in Washington, D.C., shouldn't be the voice for all 63 million American people who voted President Trump in office and the whole rest of the country. And we need to finally stand up to these people and call out the corruption, even if it's at a local level. Again, you don't need a battle tank and 10 megaphones to go and make your point. Even a sign on a street corner is effective, because people will read it and you'll get the word out and you'll start waking people up to what's really going on. So in any way that you can, definitely go and confront your officials. But if you're shy, if you're a quiet person, just take any action you can.
That's right. And Chris, to your point, just one person doing this, as you mentioned, will inspire who knows how many more. You saw Owen today, and it sounds like it has inspired you. It sounds like it inspired hundreds of thousands all across the country who saw Owen stand up and speak truth to power. So any person who gets out there, it's a ripple. And as your ripple goes out, more and more people are going to be inspired to take direct action. I cannot agree anymore.
Thank you. And I also want to just thank Millie Weaver for the Kentucky election here with the governor's race. I believe this was a rigged election. None of the mainstream media here covered that at all. Not one. Millie went out to get the job, and I want to thank InfoWars and your crew. God bless you.
Thank you for your call, Chris. All right, let's go to Sam in New Jersey on what he plans to do ahead of 2020.
Hello?
Hi, Sam.
It's ma'am. It's
oh, ma'am. My apologies for misgendering you. Honestly, I should just be canceled for the rest of the show. Tom, you might have to take over.
Yes, how dare you. However, I am a big fan of not so much Tom, but yeah, kind of you, Savannah. Well, I guess, Tom, I'm a fan of you. National Files, all right. It could be a little better if you throw some, maybe some animation or something like that. But literally, I'm a huge fan, 350 pounds. Love your product, super female vitality, really adds to my figure. And, if I could plug my, don't be a Trump, vote for Trump, _ don't be a chump, _ Trump.
Wow. That sounded like a whole poem.
I love it when we have our brave transgendered callers here on the show, don't you?
It's very important that they speak out. So thank you. Thank you for your call. Thank you so much. Andrew in Texas, you say that we have a spiritual battle going on. Elaborate on that for us.
Yeah, I think that Alex is right when he talks about how, like, the elites are channeling, well, they believe that they're channeling some sort of energy or some sort of awful intelligences that are telling them to build these things. And this has been actually going on for a long time. And there have been multiple elite groups across society that for a long time. I guess the most notable one, probably the most relevant one, would be the Nazis during World War II. During the 30s, they had multiple societies set up called the Brill Society, the Soul Society, the Black Sun Society, and they had a channeler called Maria Orsic, and where they were conducting very like Aleister Crowley-like rituals, like sex magic or whatnot, allegedly contacting off-world beings. And we had spiritualists in the American government around the turn of the century, and like during the Civil War, I think like Abraham Lincoln's wife was a spiritualist. And so these things, it's like it's hard to distinguish what exactly it is, because it's hidden knowledge and it's hard to find these things. I thought that that interview that David Icke had on Alex Jones show was great, where he talked a little bit about it with like the, I think you call it the Frankian Tibetan cult or something like that. But just want to touch up on that. And I guess real quick, I'll end on this, because it is a spiritual battle, that evil destroys life. And to live a godly life is to achieve eternal life. And pleasure is the rotting mechanism of evil. And those who pursue pleasure pursue sin and cultivate inner turmoil. An alcoholic father creates a broken home and a broken children. And through good, it is possible to overcome. To live by Jesus is to live a natural life. It is a rule set. Life is dynamic with both pleasure and suffering, and to live a good life is to achieve eternal life through your children and their children. This is the multidimensional aspect that Alex Jones talks about a lot, and evil is multidimensional and it is eternal.
I love it. I cannot agree more. Thank you so much for calling in. We are truly in a spiritual battle, and you're right. Our government, our early founding fathers, and even some who came a little bit later, like Abraham Lincoln, they understood this. So many people today do not.
Definitely, and you're completely right when you say we are in a spiritual battle. I always appreciate when our callers give us those great verses, because those are the ideals that, of course, are going to help you and lead you into a righteous life. You know, the ideals of a traditional family, the ideals that are ultimately going to save our country. Folks, we'll be right back on the other side of this short break. Tom Papert and Savannah Hernandez are in the chair. We'll be right back.
Infowars.com/show.
Making talk radio great again.
This is the War Room
with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
To the War Room. I'm Tom Papert here with Savannah Hernandez. We are taking your calls. Let's see. Next, we have Michael in California, who says that Ed Buck, who famously allegedly gets power from young black gay men who he would allegedly torture by forcing them to OD on crystal meth. Michael says that Ed Buck was his neighbor. So, Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Going all right. What was it like living next to Ed Buck? And were you at his kind of tenement building where he would make these alleged crimes, or were you by his actual house?
No, he lived right across the street from me. And, you know, this story is, you know, it gets ridiculous because all of my neighbors are actually, you know, they're Satanists, and they've been trying to kill me for a very long time now. And, you know, the only reason I'm still alive is, you know, because God is real and he is protecting me. And, you know, I have a lot of evidence that I can show to, you know, bring these people to justice. But the FBI, they won't listen to what I'm saying. And, you know, I have the evidence that's needed to, you know, to put these people away. But, the FBI and the LAPD, they won't help me.
Well, it is very frustrating. I can only imagine what it must be like to live next to such an evil person. Savannah?
I mean, I have read a lot of the stories about Ed Buck, and we have done a lot of coverage on him as well. And I couldn't imagine that being my neighbor, especially after all of the news that broke, just with not only, I can't remember off the top of my head, but not only two, but three young men that died.
Right.
At his home.
Right.
They all OD'd on meth, like you said.
Right. Two young men and one man who allegedly was one of Buck's first victims who died there in the apartment. Such a disgusting, disgusting story. Hopefully justice is found when it comes to that case. Such a terrible situation.
Definitely. Thank you for your call, Michael. Let's go to Savage Jenny in California.
All right.
Hi, Jenny. Would you mind taking us off a speakerphone?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just, you know, I've really been thinking about this, and I think that the most important men of the century here would be Alex Jones, Julian Assange, and Edward Snowden.
Could not agree more. There are three of the modern Paul Revere's out there trying desperately to bring truth to power, and we should commend them all and support them. Of course, you can support Alex at InfoWarsStore.com. You were saying that Owen needs some Christmas in his protest. What do you recommend?
And I just wanted to say that I'm really grateful for them, and I know that that Alex has been very blessed. He hasn't had to stow himself away in other countries. And, you know, God bless and remember and pray for Julian and you know, in his captive situation right now. and I just thank them for holding the light of freedom up for us.
Could not agree more. Thank you so much for your sentiments and thank you for your prayers. That's what's important, I think, Savannah, that we keep these patriots who are out there in some cases rotting in a jail cell illegitimately. Definitely not a modicum of justice there. We should pray for them each and every day.
Definitely. And another person, too, who has been a victim of this was Roger Stone. Mm-hmm. We have a caller who wants to talk about Roger Thomas in Colorado. Talk to us. What do you think?
Big fan for a long time, first time caller. I've been introduced to a lot of amazing people through the whole InfoWars experience, and you two guys are crushing it. Really enjoyed listening to you and learning about you and your perspective. It's very helpful, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
I could talk to you guys for hours about all these topics, but I really just wanted to piggyback what the last caller was just talking about, maybe a different kind of an angle. You know, you've got the people that have put it all on the line and made the most difference for President Trump getting to be where he is, you know, in many ways kind of twisting in the wind. You got Roger and then freaking Paul Manafort in solitary confinement, and what's happening to Julian Assange, as the last caller was just talking about, is just horrible. And I'm out here in middle America, and you know, I'm not anywhere near the prominence of these guys, but I have, you know, a little bit in the public eye, and I don't have a lot, so to lose anything would be to lose a lot. And I just, you know, you constantly looking over your shoulder. I think my point in calling was that I believe it would be such an amazing statement and such a foot down on the ground of what President Trump is all about, and calling these liars out and this bull crap that's going on with us being persecuted, him, number one, but then all of his supporters. And if President Trump made the move of pardoning these guys, Julian, well, you can't pardon Julian, but certainly Roger and General Flynn and poor Paul Manafort, I mean, the only reason these guys are being persecuted is because of their support for Donald Trump. And the little guys out here like me, you know, you want to stand up and be even more forceful. And I know that we have the numbers. Everybody out here knows what's going on. But if he could just make that stand and commitment of, hey, these are my guys. And the only reason that they're, and it, I mean, literally, you guys talk about it. But, you know, for somebody like me, maybe I could do a lot more if I am not always looking over my shoulder and knowing that President Trump has his friends back. These are his best friends. These are the people that got him elected, whether he knows it or not. And I believe that, and I would love to call for, you know, we are all Roger Stone, and let's get them pardoned. I know it's a big political football, but to me, that would be a grand slam home run for all of his supporters out here who want to just get on fire even more than we already are, to see him stand up for his friends and do the right thing and get these jackals off of their back and let them have their life back and go forward and help us go into 2020. We need Roger Stone out there, and he's not the only one.
I could not agree more. I am a massive supporter of President Trump, but it is quite frustrating for a man who values loyalty to the extent that President Trump does to kind of let his biggest supporters hang out to dry, whether it be Roger Stone, Paul Manafort, General Flynn, or the thousands, hundreds of thousands, likely people on social media who are being censored without any real recourse. That is one of the big frustrations of this presidency, and I could not agree more. It is very frustrating. And I will join your call to pardon these people and give the American people, the American supporters of President Trump, some reassurances that he has our back.
I second all of that. Great point from Thomas in Colorado. Our callers are always so smart, well thought out. And I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. So thank you so much for the call. And we'll take one last caller. Corinne in Michigan wants to tell us about how she's excited by Owen. Corinne, you have 45 seconds. Go.
Well, I got 45 seconds to just sum up everything that I just heard, and I loved what I just heard from that last caller. As far as Owen, oh my goodness, gosh, I got to stop saying that word goodness, but he's great. He's a knight. He is a leader. I don't know what his sun sign is, but I swear he's got a lot of martial attitude in him that's going to take him a long way. And as far as what I'm doing to support Trump, well, I'm kind of like the black sheep of the family here. So, you know, I'm giving out samples of everything that I've got here. From
Corinne, we'll go ahead and put you on hold, and we will let you finish that thought on the other side.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Today's War Room. My name is Savannah Hernandez, and I have been in studio for the past 3 hours with my great co-host, Tom Papert. Tom, you and I were just talking about how this is just a jam-packed day.
It really was, Savannah. And of course, you're doing a phenomenal job here filling in for Owen. I'm glad that I could be here today as well. And tomorrow, I know that you've got another jam-packed show, but that's really, you know, this is what happens when you have the Democrats trying to impeach President Trump. You have the Horowitz report being broken down in real time. And you have Owen Schroyer making national news literally every day this week. I guess the news just doesn't stop when these when the perfect storm approaches.
Definitely. I thought that the news was supposed to slow down ahead of the holiday season, but no, we've been on fire all week. Owen has been live streaming for the past 2 hours from New York. He was in front of New York Times, and he was bullhorning them for trying to get him kicked off of Twitter for exercising his First Amendment right. Now, our caller, Corinne in Michigan, was telling us how much she appreciated Owen's activism, so we'll go ahead and let her finish up here.
He has surmounted all odds as far as just one person, just one leader.
I could not agree more. I mean, it's really been phenomenal to watch Owen. Of course, when he first went viral back in 2016, I was just some college student sitting in his bedroom watching these videos. And to think that that person who was triggering liberals and catching it on video has now become a national superstar who is the Democrats fear him, Savannah.
Definitely. I mean, even Jerry Nadler not only got confronted by Owen as well, but by Will Johnson. So, I mean, our reporters this week have just been on fire. And I know Millie Weaver and Caitlin Bennett probably came out with a couple of great reports as well. But I swear we're putting out so much content that we can't even keep up with it.
That's exactly right. So, Corinne, how long have you been following Owen?
Well, actually, I've been following InfoWars for probably... Gee whiz, it's got to have been 15 years now. I mean,
fantastic.
When I could barely
Thanks for your support.
Get a Wi-Fi. But no, this has been a fantastic week here for InfoWars. And I wish all the best of luck to you. And I'm right behind you.
Thank you so much for your support, Corinne. It's listeners just like you that keep us afloat, that help us to be able to sit in this chair, Owen, able to go to New York. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you for calling in and speaking with us today. Now let's jump to Richard in Texas, who wants to talk about the IG report.
Hey, Savannah. Hey, Tom. I also wanted to point out that Owen, being that well-dressed and being that articulate, I don't know if anyone else noticed, but I noticed how impassioned that made the Republican representatives watching a member, a journalist being arrested in the halls of Congress. I mean, they started ripping Nadler apart after that. I mean, Owen really instituted some change that had a real effect on the proceedings. But the thing I wanted to call about is the IG report. And one thing Horowitz said that I haven't really heard anyone highlight. He was talking about the Woods procedures. And here's the quote that really he literally is saying they're committing federal felonies. He said, not only did they violate the Woods procedures or not follow them, many of the FBI senior managers did not know what the Woods procedures are. And so these people who, like, all the directors and assistant directors, they're all attorneys. So the fact that they didn't do that makes that a federal felony under 46 CFR 503.59, 18 USC 793, and 50 USC Chapter 36. That's called gross negligence. And so when they don't even, not only did they violate them, but they actually didn't know what they were, that's multiple federal felonies that they committed, that he's saying, but no one really noticed that he was saying these people committed felonies.
Well, I think what you're really underscoring is either the criminal intent, or, I mean, you can always give them the benefit of the doubt, or the extreme incompetence of the FBI, especially when it came to going after Trump. I mean, of course, they knew what they wanted when they went into it. They wanted to destroy President Trump by any means necessary, even when he was still candidate Trump or president-elect Trump. And so you're absolutely right. I hope that Horowitz, his report is followed with Durham and Barr making criminal prosecutions, criminal cases. I do also want to point out that you are totally right about Owen Schroyer seeming to inspire the Republicans. I mean, when it is essentially, I mean, he is a public persona. He is a news reporter, a host here at InfoWars, host of War Room. But when they saw what an American citizen who is not elected to any office was willing to do, I do think that gave the Republicans some cojones to get out there and do the same thing.
Exactly. So thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to bring up those 2 points.
Thanks for calling, Richard.
All right, let's go ahead and go to David in Dallas. Is this Dave Summerall?
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. How have you been? What do you want to talk to us about today?
Gosh, everything. Momentum coming into 2020. You know, the last caller was so smart and played it off like he wasn't even, you know, just these facts, man. People are on their game. But listen, the thing I wanted to say is, you know, Owen's like a mini Trump, you know, and Trump is out there trying to motivate us, trying to set the bar and the example. And, you know, Owen's doing the same thing. And Alex, and, you know, I'm just so encouraged that InfoWars is really going to, you know, push harder in 2020, and we all have to. But the whole point of this is to say, you know, what are you willing to do? You know, and people want to be involved. They want to do things. And listen, talking about the problems all the time just makes you feel bad. We need solutions and we need action. And I think that was a main theme today, just the action that we need to take. And the local level is perfect. You know, school board meetings, city council meetings. And then on the state level, you know, I've come to Austin a couple of times to be with you when you picketed, you know, and protested Planned Parenthood and, you know, different events that people can plug into. They just need to go leave the house. And if you're not going to leave the house, support people, you know, put $5 a month somewhere, buy some product at InfoWars, keep these people going. Because, you know, when you ask yourself, what are you willing to do? Like you said, Owen's not a political figure as far as an office holder, but he's willing to go to jail. He's willing to do what it takes to set that example and to motivate people, and same that Trump does. He motivates us to take action. I just encourage everybody to find a way locally, or a favorite influencer or favorite organization or group that's putting points on the board, and get some skin in the game. And that's the whole key. And we've got to really push hard in 2020, because we've got all the dead people and the voter fraud and the illegals to overcome. Numbers are good, but we can't get overconfident in that either.
So great points,
people,
David.
Be involved with voters registration. Mm-hmm. Talk to people, and don't talk about politics. Just talk about life. Make friends with people.
Definitely. Great points, David. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing all of that with us today and for waiting on hold. We really appreciate it. Let's go to Jefferson in Virginia. Jefferson, you have 1 minute. Talk to us about cashless societies, microchips, and e-voting and how they're all linked.
Hey, Savannah. Hey, Tom. Yeah, we've gone way too far down the digital road. They've got us trapped in this sort of digital matrix where we can't get out of it unless we're going to get violent against the machine, so to speak. We really need to find out where all these microchips are being manufactured or warehoused. If there's 430 of those things sitting around, 430 million of them in this country, there's too many of them. We got to find out what to do about that. We got to take on Skynet before it's activated. You know, the robots could hunt you down very easily if you had a microchip in your hand, even if you didn't have your phone on you.
Well, that's true, and I think that what you're calling for is a peaceful, lawful protest, and I think that that is absolutely vital. Let the elites know that they're not going to chip us all like animals so they can track us. I think that that is absolutely the trick to all of this, is just let the elites know that you're not going to be governed like a monkey at the zoo. Thanks so much for your call.
Thanks.
Well, Tom, that was a great broadcast. We're down to our final minute. And again, I can't say this enough, but thank you to our viewers, our listeners. You are the reason that we're here in these chairs today. Me and Tom Papert, you're the reason why Owen Schroyer is in New York City right now, why he's been able to go all across America and make these internet or these national headlines, why Will Johnson was able to go and confront Jerry Nadler. So thank you so much to our viewers for that. Go to InfoWars Store and go get your sticker pack, okay? Go get that $10 sticker pack, 40 stickers, and go and put them up everywhere and start red-pilling people everywhere you go. Tom, final comments?
Well, that's right, Savannah. I just want to underscore it is so important that you continue to support the InfoWar going into 2020. Alex has big, big plans, and they cannot be accomplished without your support. InfoWarStore.com. Get a pretty sticker like Savannah has.
All right, folks, we will see you tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow. My name is Savannah Hernandez, and actually, Tom Papert will be hosting the Alex Jones Show, so tune in tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central Time for that.